We started touching on step one about unmanageability and powerlessness, and I really didn't talk a lot about my alcoholism, my alcohol drinking part of it, because I believe that we've all got here the same way. We got drunk a lot, or we did a lot of drugs, or our behaviors were very unmanageable. The vehicle that got me here really doesn't matter. Coming to believe in the power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. First thing I had to do was find out that I was really insane. I still question that one, whether I am or not, but I must be, because I stuck around a long time to find out my thinking wasn't working. I also like to bring in tradition. There's a loving God as he expresses himself through our group conscience, our leaders but trusted servants. That's real important to me, because my journey through the second step actually came through the second tradition. I believe traditions are very important, and there's a couple of things we did last week. One of the things we did is we talked about in the old days from 1939 through the late 50s, and still some days in places like Akron and Washington, they still have beginner's classes before you go to meetings. We don't do it down here in Florida with the Bible Belt. We do it a different way. We all have our own way. Hi, Princess. And in the beginning, if we read step two, the step is described in the big book on pages 44 through 60, and the directions, and there are directions, even in step two. For taking step two are on page 47, and it's paragraphs, two lines, one through three, and I'm just going to read it the old-fashioned way they did it. We need to ask ourselves for one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man says he does believe or is willing to believe, we can empathetically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderful, effective spiritual structure can be built. That's the old-fashioned way, you know. When you got here, did you have enough drinking? Did you believe there's something greater than you? Turn yourself over to it, and let's go to work and do the fourth step. Pretty much how it was in the old days. Since the treatment centers, since we learned more about alcoholism, since the 15 years and of experience of the big book, we add a lot to it. We take the simplicity out of the words of the steps, and we make it very confusing. I had a right on my first step. Some people do, and some people don't. The journey for each of us is different. My second step, I always believed in powers greater than myself. Speaking about that last week, of that my belief system in a power greater than myself was anything but God. And then I talked about at the very end of the meeting, I think I touched upon, there is a principle that keeps a man in everlasting ignorance, and that principle is contempt prior to investigation. Those are things that I heard and learned real early on. Now, when I walked into this program, my contempt was tremendous. I didn't know where it came from or why I had it. I just knew that my life was different than most. And the powers I believed in, because I searched out all kinds of religious stuff growing up. I did my original upbringing, which was Jewish. And then I rebelled before my 13th birthday. And then I had a hip bar mitzvah because my father would have killed me otherwise. Real simple. So I did that thing, and I was rebelling ever since. I was mad at God from seven when my grandfather died. That's when that started. Then by 13, I was way out there. I used to have these kind of things, you know, and I'm going to bring in religion. And the book says that of matters of necessity, we don't want to be controversial, but because of what we are, we do talk about religion, psychiatry, and all kinds of other things, but because it's necessary. And, you know, I had friends that lived across the street. They were Roman Catholics, and I couldn't understand why on Friday I couldn't understand why they were allowed to have meat with milk, and if I did it, I was going to hell. That was one of the religious upbringing, the religious laws, and I couldn't understand why their Sabbath was on Sunday and my Sabbath was on Saturday. I was all confused, and I didn't understand when they did those things, they didn't die, but if I do those things, it made no sense. So I was starting to rebel against religion. Still had a lot of problems with God, and I knew that when I became 13, God was supposed to make me into a man, and it was all supposed to be figured out, and it didn't work that way for me. I was very confused. Well, my journey in religion brought me to Eastern religions. I did TM, I did Est, I did all those Eastern philosophies to find the God. of my understanding or misunderstanding. I turned around from that, and I read Seth, I believe, did witchcraft. I couldn't put a thing to this hole that I had that I didn't know what was coming from. And I covered it a lot with alcohol and drugs. Because I was drinking when I was young, and I was drugging when I was young. So my spiritual journey was non-existent. And it's real important that I remember where I came from, especially for that second step. Now, my second step today is nowhere it was the day I walked in these rooms. But I remember what it was like when I first got here. And that's the good news. I said I was going to share my journey through the steps at the beginning. I've taken many journeys through the steps. And each time, God hasn't changed at all. It's my perception. God has changed. Which is amazing, because I was very stubborn and adamant when I walked in these rooms. When I first walked in these rooms, I was in a treatment center in upstate New York. And last week I shared that I wasn't powerless over anything. I believed in lots of powers greater than myself. And I wasn't turning my will and my life over to care of your God, my God, or any other God. And that was that simple, so I had 1, 2, and 3 out of the way. They told me I had to find this power greater than myself. That was the purpose of the book. That was the purpose. I was in there. I said, no, I was in there to get my kids back, get warmed up, deal with my ex-wife marrying the guy that I caught her cheating with. And that was it. I was going to get fat, comfortable, warm, and go out and get loaded again. Along the way, they told me they had me speak to a priest and a rabbi and a minister. And I, you know, they quote one verse and I quote another. You know, I was good at that because when I was young, I was going to be religious, very. I kept all the religious laws, but I was not spiritual. One of the things I tell a lot of my sponsees, you know, when they tell me this is a Christian program, well, if Christianity was the answer, and that's not saying that it's not for some people, then why do we have drunk priests or rabbis or any other kind of religion you can think of? There are alcoholics among us all. It doesn't discriminate in that area. I can quote verses that my sponsor gave me to look at. I went through the 12 steps, through the Serenity Bible, at one of my journeys through the steps, to do it a religious way. I did it through the Oxford Group ways. I've done it many different ways, but the beginning was the way that really still holds. I had a lot of contempt prior to investigation. There's a couple of things that I always like. In We Agnostics, and it's where you find God, they would tell me. There's something I was told to ask myself. First of all, I had to believe that my drinking was out of control, and that was my first step. When I fully admitted to my innermost self that I couldn't drink safely, I knew I was one of you guys, as much as I wanted to be something else. I finally woke up to the fact that I was an alcoholic. My behaviors already proved that, but I didn't see that. In We Agnostics, it says, there are two questions I was told to ask myself. If, when we honestly wanted to, you could not quit entirely, or if when drinking you had little control of the amount you take, you're probably an alcoholic. And it was real simple. I didn't control my drinking very well sometimes. Sometimes I can have a drink, or I can drink 10 bottles and be in full control. But I never knew where I'd wind up. And I always thought it was fun. And you know what? When I think back, leaning over toilet bowls and hanging on for dear life was that fun. Although I rationalized it as being fun. So there's that delusionary thinking we were talking about in the first step. That second step, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live by spiritual principle was not easy alternatives to face. I still had that childhood dilemma. You know, I now, 44 years old, I've been fighting God since I'm 7 years old. I went and tried religious things. I married out of religion, so my religion threw me out. I never converted, so the other religion never took me in. So I'm still going through religious dilemmas. My children were raised Catholic, because my religion taught me that whatever the woman is, they carry the religion. So it was a real simple decision for me. My children, I'm Jewish, they were Catholic, they're Catholic. End of the problem. I never went to church, never did the conversion, and I still didn't believe in God. Was I agnostic? Was I atheist? I really didn't try to figure that stuff out. I just knew I was having a hard time with that. I knew what the book said, and I just didn't feel connected. I still did not feel connected. I came into these rooms, and I really didn't believe there was a God. Last week I was talking about those little things, those little signposts of people that are putting your path. Well, the priest couldn't convince me in treatment. My counselor couldn't convince me. Anybody that spoke to me couldn't convince me that there was anything greater than myself when I first got there. I was there for all the wrong reasons. And I sat down with a chaplain. God, I haven't thought of this story in a long time. Joe, his name was. He was a Vietnamese war vet. He was impaled, that's the only way I know how to say it. He had a physical handicap from the war. And we talked for a long time. And he said, you know, and I couldn't believe in what you guys believed in anyway, because it wasn't the way I was brought up. So I had, was against that to start with. So I was still being contemptuous. And I remember him talking to me, he says, you know, you don't have to believe in anything. Probably doesn't require that. He says, but whatever is up there, or whatever's in your heart, why don't you just say, help me. Start there. Because, you know, you guys were talking about getting on your knees and all kinds of things that was against everything I believed in and was willing to do. I wasn't willing to do any of that at the beginning. So they said he didn't care what we did as long as I did something. And ask whatever was up there to help me. Not pick up a drink or a drug or want to. There's a part in the, there is a solution where it says, if you're a serious alcoholic as we were, we believe there's no middle of the road solution. We're in a position where life is becoming impossible, and we have passed into a region from which there was no return through human aid. We had two alternatives. One was to go to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could. That means my delusionary thinking, best I could, was way whack. Or the other was to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to or were willing to make the effort. Well, I honestly didn't want to, and I really wasn't willing to make the effort, so I stayed pretty miserable, and I didn't have any kind of understanding. And I'm going to, like I said, the second tradition is really what brought me here. Last week we talked about the first step. The end of the first step really ties right into the second step, and I believe, like, the steps are built one on top of another for a reason, same as the traditions are built one on top of another for a reason. I don't understand the reasoning, but I know it works in order for a reason. So somebody that comes in and does step one and then is doing a 12 step, there's a lot in between before you really get to step 12 to carrying the message, because you're not really carrying the message. What you're really doing, I was told at the beginning, is carrying the mess. You need to have that spiritual experience. And in here I'm going to read what a spiritual experience is. The big book tells us it's when we see, do, and feel things that we couldn't see, do, and feel before. It's really that simple. We rearrange our emotional sides. What a concept. But in the end of the first step, the answer is that few people sincerely try to practice the AA program unless they hit bottom. But practicing AA's remaining 11 steps means the adoption and attitude of actions that almost no alcoholic still drinking can dream of taking. Who wishes to be honest, rigorously honest, and tolerant, who wants to confess his faults to another and make restitution for harm done, who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer, who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry AA's message to the next sufferer? No, not the average alcoholic, self-centered to the extreme. Doesn't care for this prospect unless they ask to do these things to stay alive himself. I still didn't believe I was dying. That's why I had no second step. And I still didn't believe I was a man. That's the sad part. I couldn't see what was really in that mirror. You know, everybody's telling me how bad I looked and how emaciated I was. It's 128 pounds, and I thought I looked great. And I let everybody know how great I look. But that was my insanity, working in full force. What happened was that paragraph about being a serious alcoholic, and there's another paragraph that really brings it home for this alcoholic. It says, some of us have been violently anti-religious. The other, the word God, brought up a particular idea of him, which someone had tried to impress during childhood. Perhaps we rejected this particular conception because we think it seemed inadequate. With that rejection, we imagined we had abandoned the God idea entirely. We were bothered with the thought of faith and dependence upon a power beyond itself is somewhat weak, even cowardly. Pretty much tells you where I was when I got here. I didn't believe in God. And I rejected the idea because of my childhood upbringing, because of what God did to my grandfather, then what he did to my father, then how my sister died, then what he did with my wife. I was blaming God. Now, I didn't see that until my fourth step. I can look back at it now and talk about it in a second. But it took me a couple of years being around to realize that God had nothing to do with any of that. was my perception of what was going on that was warped and twisted, not God's. God was doing what he was supposed to do. He was there listening. I was talking, but I wasn't listening back. And I look back in retrospect and I think about the people that were there for me or for my second step. Were really my second tradition. The loving God has expressed himself to the group. Because in spite of all my insanity, as I walked in these rooms, there were people in there that were sharing a solution. One of the best ways I look at the second step is when somebody walks into the rooms, I don't care who it is, and they bring up a subject. I don't care what the subject is. And they dump it in the middle of the room and they walk out the door. And you watch 100 hands go up and there's 100 answers. As soon as they walk back in the door, that subject closed. They don't hear it anymore. They missed the miracle. And I had a sponsor that taught me that, you know, I used to come in and puke on you guys and walk outside for a cigarette because you brought up God. That was the end of my tolerance for the group. I was not tolerant at all. And my sponsor, it wasn't my sponsor, it was my spiritual guide, really, became my sponsor. Big Bob, he used to sit down and say to me, George, I want you to watch the next guy that does what you do all the time. I want you to stay in the room and I want you to watch the answer come out. See, because there is a loving God and he's expressing himself in this group and you don't see it yet. So any people who have a problem with a higher power, you already got them. You just don't know it yet. And it takes time to get it. One of the things on page 47, and it's in the beginning of a book that I was asked to read, which is AA literature. Believe it or not, I found my higher power through AA literature. There's a part on page 47 it said, the great news for us, we had assumed we could not make use of spiritual principles unless we said many things on faith which seemed difficult to believe. If you read Came to Believe, that's one of the first things it talks about. In the very beginning of Came to Believe. Came to Believe was my greatest gift that was given to me because without Came to Believe, I had no power. The group of drunks was my first higher power. Good order of the left direction became my second higher power. God was not there in my third step. I did not turn my... And I'm going to jump ahead because I need to because I didn't have a God in my third step. I still was defiant. I remember my sponsor telling me, if you think you're God, George, why don't you go outside and move that tree? I said, you know, that's impossible. I'm physically not strong enough. And he said, well, if you're going to build a mountain, why don't you bring a shovel so you can dig yourself out? And I didn't understand that at the beginning. And then it still wasn't sinking in. So he gave me a suggestion. And he said, I suggest this strongly. I want you to go to the drugstore. I want you to buy a box of X-Lax. I want you to take the box of X-Lax. And then I want you not to go to the bathroom. I said, that's impossible. He says, well, then you can't be God. Give up the job. So that made sense to me. Because I knew I couldn't stand it, it really made sense. So I was a little warped. He told me, you know, the light bulb theory doesn't work. The chair doesn't work. The ashtray doesn't work. Because, you know what? A light bulb burns out and it dies. So where's your God going? It had to be something bigger than me. And, you know, I used to think when I was the head of a union, I used to think that I used to tell people when we try to organize other unions to make coalitions that it was always better to go forward in force with a fist than it was to just point the finger. Because you can always break one finger at a time, but as a group, you're always stronger. So those kind of theories as a group, the we factor instead of the I factor became real important. So what I started doing is borrowing your God. Because I really didn't believe it was going to work for me. What I did know is I didn't want to drink or drug anymore. I didn't know I wanted to stay here at that point. There's a bunch of things. There's so many things. It tells you where to find God, and that's our third step because it's deep down in each one of us. It's been planted in us before our childhood, as I was told. I don't understand that yet. I haven't gotten there. And I always hear that there's always a problem with the higher power. I was told, and Bill Wilson talks about it in a couple of places in the big book. In the first page is on page 12 when he's sitting there with Abby suggests that he can use his own conception of God. I was told to find out what qualities I wanted in a God, and I was told to put them on paper. My qualities of God when I got here were pretty simple. They really were. They're a lot more different today than they were when I came in. And they, like I said, he hasn't changed. You see, the God I walked in the door, the God that brought me in the door, I should say, is the same God I have today. It's my perception of that God that's changing constantly. And that's the good news that the second step was given me. I did not, you know, you go through all the different types of alcoholics and there is a solution more about alcoholism. And we agnostics, I fit into all the categories at one time or another in my drinking history or drugging history. So I didn't really know I belonged, you know, because I had a little of this one, a little of that one. So I took a little of your God and a little of your God. And that was the God I put together from you people, because it was working in the rooms. I knew I didn't want to drink when I was here for an hour. So the good alcoholic that I was, instead of being here for an hour, is I stayed here for 8 hours a day. That way I didn't have to drink. And then they tricked me into things like service. And, you know, those were the things that kept me sober at the beginning. I didn't want to go back to where I used to be. And they gave me little simple tools for the second step. Like, not today, maybe tomorrow. I won't drink today, or I won't drug today. I'll do it tomorrow. It took me about 3 weeks to realize that tomorrow never comes. I had to sit there and say, you know, I've been saying this for 3 weeks. I want to drink. I still wanted to drink after the 3 weeks. I go, can I change it to something else? Like, not today, maybe now? So he said, yeah. And then he said, if not this hour, take it. And every time it came to that hour, it would be not this hour, it would be next hour. That next hour never comes. I had to learn to get in the moment. And that was real hard. And the second step in that second condition was the loving people in the rooms that brought me there. See, the guide of my conception, my understanding today, is that I don't have to understand him. He does speak through people. My second step is wonderful today. I get to share my God with everybody in this room, and my God is nothing like anybody else's God, but is exactly like everybody else's God. I don't need to give him a name. I don't need to bring in my religion. I always have a problem when I hear people mention God by name. I don't care what name it is. That's because it's going to offend somebody. If you brought up Christian and you have problems with the Catholic Church and somebody brings up a Christian God, you can have a problem with it. If you brought up Jewish, you can have a problem with it. Well, what if you're an Indian? And we're talking about those things. Well, what if you're an American Indian and you believe in the great spirits? So my sponsor on one of my many trips through the Big Book suggested that I circle the number of times God is in the Big Book. And for anybody's information, in the first 164 pages, God is mentioned over 200 times. 80 of them is directly in capital G, and the rest of them, the 130 some odd, are in pronouns for the word God. Now, that's because I didn't believe God was in the Big Book. So I guess I was shown that he is, and I came back 3 times with the wrong answers, and he made me redo it until I got it right. I won't tell you what pages they're on, but if you ever look at one of my big books, you will find them, because I have them circled in all my big books, because I need to find that power. Lack of power, that was my dilemma. And I believed I was that power. The power did not come from me. It was given to me graciously. The one thing I suggest to anybody having trouble with the second step is to read page 569 and 570 in the back of the big book. It's called The Spiritual Experience. In the first 47 pages, there's two little arrowsticks, one on page 25 and one on page 47, that refers you to read it. They didn't put it in there because they didn't want us to look at it. They put it in there because there are two types of experiences. One is the lightning bolt, which Bill Wilson had, which I didn't. The other is the one that comes slowly over time through steps. Somewhere in those steps, I got a God of my misunderstanding. See, that today I understand I don't have to understand it. It's really that simple for me. If that confuses you, you ought to be in my head when I go through that. But it works. It works. You know, my God will work through me through you. And I'm sure your God is working on me. I was afraid when I first got sober, and I'm going to try and cut it down. When I first got sober, I was afraid to go into a temple because I was afraid that the building would fall. So I used to go into the church, and I used to sit at the, not in the pews. I do that too, but that's a whole other journey. We won't get to that one, but not today. We'll just say that for another time. But I used to sit in where you sit and meditate. Oh God, the rectories, where the quiet areas, in the chapels, thank you, God. In the chapels, I used to sit in the chapel, and I used to say, and there was a temple right across the street, but I was afraid to go there. I used to say, listen, I know you can speak to my God. I can't. And that's really how it worked for me at the beginning. So I prayed to whatever was up there to help me. Just keep away from a drink or a drug. The feelings didn't go away, though. And, you know, we laugh about these things. And the reason we laugh is not we're laughing at somebody, because it brings back some memories of what we actually go through. And, you know, there's somewhere in this book that says, our imagination will be fired. That's real important that we touch each other's heart. This is a language of the heart. I can sit here and quote the book to you all day long, but if it's not my experience, it ain't going to get through. That's all any of us have is our experience. I struggle in that second step. I struggled in all the steps. I surrendered. And you know, we talk about surrendering in the first step. I believe we're surrendering every step, each and every step of the way we surrender. Sometimes we do it more easily than others, like acceptance. There's two kinds of acceptance. The acceptance that I'm willing to accept, and then there's the acceptance without approval. Well, my second step was acceptance without approval. I didn't approve of any of this, but I was doing it because I didn't want to go back to a cardboard box. The God I have today is very loving and very understanding. He doesn't ask too much of me. I know what he wants from me. The one thing he wants from me is not to pick up the first drink. After that, I have no idea. You know, I kind of walk into a wall today. Instead of going through it, I either make a left or I make a right. That's a lot of change for someone like me. I don't have to run to a bottle when my feelings get out of whack. I'm more interested today in my emotional sobriety. Now, if you would have told me that step two, where it says, will be returned to sanity, that journey from the second step to the tenth step, because there's a promise in the tenth step that I always love, and then I'm going to jump way ahead right now and say it. It says, it's happened automatically. We're not fighting anymore. I had to cease fighting anything or everyone. And that's where the second step started taking place. Now, I didn't realize that until long after I was into my third and fourth steps. See, each step along the way, in retrospect, I realized I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And as I revisit the steps, because I don't believe we do them once, some people may believe that, you know, and some people can stay sober that way. We all have a different journey. As we revisit the steps, or as I revisit the steps, my understanding becomes more clear. Just like as many times as I read this big book, there's always something God stuck in there, or somebody wrote the night before that I didn't see. There's something I want to report on you that's a little bit of history. Is a part in the big book where Bill Wilson talks about the spirit of the bells at the very beginning when he talks about his grandfather in Bill's story. And it's based on Pythagoras, a 5,000-year-old, and I just shared this with you the other night. It's based on a mathematical, because his grandfather believed the bells, the nature of the bells, and it's mentioned in the big book in Bill's story, that everything had harmony in the world. And he fought that his whole life, and he fought his upbringing, his religious upbringing. But he did finally agree with his grandfather when he saw his way wasn't working. And that's why when the concept by Ebbe was put to him that he can choose any conception of his God. The second step in the 12 says no matter how limited it is. I believe that you believed. I didn't believe. I believe that you believed though. And that got me to my second step. I saw it working in the groups. I was there. I just wasn't willing to accept. Or I wasn't willing to try. Or make an attempt. I don't try anymore. If I try, I'm going to set myself up to fail on it. I'll tell you how good I'm not doing something. That's how I try. I learned I can either do something or I don't. And that second step was I had to become willing to read the Came to Believe. I had to be willing to go to meetings and not walk out and listen to the group conscience as it was expressed at that particular meeting. So the second step for me is a wonderful journey. You know, that's how I found my second step. I said, I'll take you as I go through my steps and how I found them. If I tell you how I do it today, it's so different. But truthfully, it's not. What's different is my attitude. I go in there more open and less defiant. And I practice it a little bit more. By doing certain things, certain simple things, that put me in a position to receive this wonderful gift called sobriety. Sobriety does not mean to do without drinking. It means a happy, contented life. It's a lot more than not drinking. Enough out of me. It's your meeting, guys.